You have introductions today, correct? Okay, good. As we go through the service, listen, there's going to be a part of the service where we do honor moms. And so I don't want you to think we're not going to do that. We will definitely honor moms and pray for moms. But during the course of the service today, especially in the message, Paul talks about in the message how mentors ought to be, mentors in the church. And he uses the illustration of moms and dads. So pay particular attention. In Christ alone. Go ahead, Chris.
He asked Sight and Sound, is Wednesdays available? And they said, no way. No way. Get it? Jesus gave his life as the penultimate sacrifice to God, and through his grace wiped away our sins. He was scorned by those he loved, was tortured, died, and was buried. He overcame the evil of this world and opened a path for us to gain heaven. His power is evident in those acts, and it's up to us to follow and take the path that he laid out for us. Our only way to go is through Christ. So when the devil throws your sin in your face and declares that you deserve death and hell, tell him this: I admit that I deserve death and hell. What of it? For I know that one who suffered and made satisfaction on my behalf, his name is Jesus Christ, Son of God, and where he is, there I shall be also. Standing open, and there before me was a white horse, whose rider is called Faithful and True. With justice he judges and wages war. His eyes are like blazing fire, and on his head are many crowns. He has a name written on him that no one knows but he himself. He is dressed in a robe dipped with blood, and his name is the Word of God. These armies of heaven were following him, riding on white horses and dressed in fine linen, white and clean. Coming out of his mouth is a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations. He will rule them with an iron scepter. He treads the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God Almighty. On his robe and on his thigh he has this name written: King of Kings and Lord of Lords.
Do his good.
I can wave a mean hand. Won't you please be seated, brothers and sisters? Yeah. Won't you read with me the responsive reading, Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. All right, so Paul urges us to give ourselves to God fully, without reservation. He says that this is our true worship. The Greek word latreia, means worship, and it also means ministry. All right, so this is not an invitation to worship, not just an invitation to worship, but an invitation to perform a ministry. He urges us. The Greek word being parakaleo, which is stronger than a mere request and less strong than a command. He calls us the living sacrifice, true and proper, using the Greek word logikos, logical and spiritual combined, or spiritually logical. It's a spiritually logical sacrifice, a living sacrifice. Christ was the penultimate sacrifice to God. After him, sacrifices of animals were not required, as the grace of his sacrifice redeemed us all. Do not conform to the pattern, do not be molded. Don't conform to this world, or probably better contextualized as age, don't conform to the age. Don't be a product of this world, but be be transformed by the understanding of God's will. The last part says that we will be able to test God's will, and you'll be happy to know that the Greek word dokimazo translates to test, try, examine, and interpret. So for those of us who are reticent to test God, we can use the word interpret. Folks, Paul urges us to give ourselves wholly to God and to follow his will. It's not an easy task. Satan is everywhere, vying for our attention in every way possible. How? How do we counteract this? As Peter wrote, therefore, rid yourselves of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk so that by it you may grow up in your salvation now that you have tasted that the Lord is good.
Thank you. Right. We're going to look at those two verses in the introduction of the message today. But let me just suggest to you, this is, of course, from the book of Romans. And we don't memorize scripture anymore, and that's almost too bad. It's taken a toll on the church. I've memorized most of Romans, and I'm not just saying that to say, hey, look how good I am. Listen, I'm old like you, some of you are not that old, but I hear too many excuses. I'm too busy, I can't memorize, I'm too old for that. Who wants to memorize? Listen, the more you store up the Word of God in your heart, the more the Holy Spirit's going to be able to draw on the Word to get you through situations. So, as we are going to recognize our mothers and pray, let me just make a few comments. When we change diapers, we should do for the glory of God, right? I mean, I don't care if you wear a gas mask while you do it. You gag while you do it. You know, I mean, I've seen all the scenarios. But whatever we do as parents, especially moms, should be done for the glory of God. Do not be conformed to this world, pressed into its mold. The media has watered down femininity. It has watered down the role of motherhood. It has. It wants to abolish any lines between motherhood and fatherhood, which is very unfortunate, by the way. And yet, being a mother, I believe, is the most important job in the world. In a very real way, you become a life giver and a mentor to your child. Isn't that true? And so whatever we do, whether it's bath time or diaper time or story time or whatever, and for those of us who are older, and we minister to our grandkids, in some cases great-grandkids, right? Everything we should do should glorify the Lord. I put a post out earlier the week saying that the best thing we can do on Mother's Day is to come with your mother to church. And I wish more people would hear that. Because we get so caught up in the other garbage. These are meaningful times. So as we salute mothers today, and we want to recognize them, I think we'll give out the pens first before we go to pray. So Naomi, are you coming up? Glenn Swank, that at the Assembly of God Church in Waretown, has on his digital sign, "The hug of a mother lasts a lot longer than just saying I love you." And there's a lot of wisdom in that. We have just a little token of appreciation for moms today, so please feel free to take it. Some moms are grandmoms. Some moms are great-grandmoms. No candy, it's Sunday. Okay. You don't gain calories. Yeah. You're welcome. Thank you. Sure. Wow. Amen. Wow. Wow. God bless you at Christmas. God bless you at Christmas. Yeah. Oh, no, that's great. Believe it or not, children are a blessing. That's what the Bible tells us, right? They're a blessing. Even when they reach the teenage years, they're a blessing. We hope Naomi reaches her next birthday. All right. Okay. You gonna? Okay. We have a special gift for our newest mom. And so, Kristen, since you don't have a baby in your arm, Yeah, I know. I know. Okay. I got it. I got it. Don't worry about it.
Oh, yeah. Careful.
Yeah, that's all right. Everybody gets nervous. Congratulations. Part of what I'm going to be talking about today, before we go into prayer for the moms, is I know there are some women who, for whatever reason, don't have children. And I understand that. But in the church, it's an amazing opportunity for women to get involved as mentors to our young people. And we need mentors for our young people, okay? So whether you have children or not, you can still have an effect on the young people. I also, in our prayer today, I want to pray for those moms who have lost people, lost sons and daughters. And that's a very painful thing, but a very real thing. So why don't we join in prayer as we thank the Lord for our moms and we just give him glory. Let's pray. Father, what a great honor it is to honor our moms. We thank you and praise you. They work hard. It seems like, Father, their work is never ending. So, Father, in that regard, I pray you give them strength. I pray for the grandmas and the great-grandmas that, Father, they would be able to influence grandchildren and great-grandchildren to follow the Lord, to know the Lord. Father, we ask special blessings, Father, for our moms who day in and day out work diligently, for our grandparents that we take for granted, for great-grandparents that we take for granted. Father, it was a grandmother and a mother who brought Timothy in the Bible to the Lord. We thank you for that influence. And Father, I want to lift up before you those moms who lost children. Father, we just ask that you bring comfort even on this day, that you help the situation in that knowing for the time that the child was here, they were given love and provided for by moms who love them. I ask also, Father, that for people, women in the church who don't have children yet or chose not to have children, that you would just put a burden in their hearts to help mentor. The wisdom, Father, that you have placed in others who are not moms, Father, can help mentor young people. Father, we give you thanks for each and every one. We pray today is a special blessing. And we pray this in the great name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. I need a couple of people to help with the offering, if you can, and then. So, as we prepare for the offering, before I pray for the offering, why don't we give a hand for our moms? Right? Thank you. All right, let's pray. Father, as we worship and giving, we pray our tithes, our offerings honor you, that you'd help us to be good stewards to reach this community for Jesus Christ, not for our glory, for his glory. Father, we got some outreaches planned. We got some special events planned, Father, so help us direct our steps. And Father, we thank you because all good things come from you. Thank you for our incomes that you provide. Thank you for our homes. Thank you for our families. Just thank you for all the things we take for granted. Father, I pray you bless the gift and the giver. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to ask a simple question this morning. This wasn't a question I intended to ask, but I think it's relevant. And the reason why I think it's relevant is because I think the church in general has been asleep for way too long. In the verses that we just read from Romans, Paul uses the language that's rich, and I know that Chip touched on a lot of it. There's one other aspect I want to touch on. He says, I urge you then. I urge you. In the original language, it's I plead with you. I beg you not to be pressed into this world's mold. I beg you. But be renewed in your mind. That comes from the Word of God. So as I look at this passage in Thessalonians, the question I want to ask is this: are you ready to be different than the world? Maybe you're happy just with the world and the way it is. I'm not. Are you? Are you ready to break away from it and do it God's way? Are you ready to be different where the scripture tells us to be different? Are you ready to look at life from God's eyes and have the joy of living it for Him? It's not easy. And sometimes you may not be happy. But when we trust Him and obey Him, we will have joy. You know the difference between happiness and joy, right? Happiness is circumstantial. Car started today. It's a good day, right? The baby slept until 8 o'clock. It was a good day. No, don't such luck, Christian. I got this unexpected IRS check in the mail. Keep dreaming, right? I mean, those things make us happy, but only true joy comes from a dynamic living relationship with God. It doesn't come through religion. In other words, it doesn't come through us trying to please God or reach Him on our own. It comes through relationship. It comes from us making a choice each and every day. Much like Joshua said, choose you this day who you will serve. We have to face that choice every day. Are we going to serve God? Are we going to serve the world? And you can't keep your foot in both those places because you'll end up doing a split that'll hurt you. But that's what we try to do sometimes, isn't it? Listen, to live for Christ, to follow Him, takes discipline. And it takes the power of the Holy Spirit. We can't do it on our own. And that means living for Him in every situation. That means living for him as a mother, as a father, as leaders in the community, as people who live in a community, even to how we do church. Are we coming here to because we love Jesus and we want to be different than the world? One of the things that amazed me, still amazes me, is when I was teaching up at the Kelly School during this past year, I passed by four places on a Sunday morning, and they were always packed. Two were marijuana dispensaries, and two were sports fields. And I feel like crying out, I mean, some of the coaches, you know, in our country, listen, I have nothing against sports. I love sports. I put myself through the torture watching the Yankees yesterday. And there's nothing wrong with sports. However, when something comes in between us and worshiping God, it's an idol. That means we need believing parents to say, you know what, coach, my son, my daughter, they can't be here early on Sunday mornings. And I hope you don't penalize them for that, but we have something more important we need to do. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed. Will you be different for Christ? So I want to start with that today because the American church in general has just said, you know, we're happy in both worlds. On Sunday, I'll live for Christ. On Monday, I'll do my own thing. Don't work. We can see it. It doesn't work because when you do your own thing, you have no time for prayer meetings. You have no time for Bible studies. You have no time for the disciple opportunities or the discipling opportunities that a church offers that you can take advantage of. And so that together we can grow to be more like Christ. I heard the story of a mother of 10. Who somehow makes time to go to church on Sundays. I mean, I applaud her. Because she knows that she needs to be in church. Let's go to Thessalonians. And we'll see how this works out. Paul says in Thessalonians chapter 2, starting in verse 1, you know, brothers and sisters, that our visit to you was not without results. And what Paul is saying here is, look, we all know, I mean, Paul was full in with God. We know that. And we know that everything he did was for the glory of God. Doesn't make Paul perfect. I want you to understand that. Paul had his problems, especially when it came to Peter sometimes. But God uses imperfect people. He can use imperfect people when we decide we're going to do his will. If we decide we're not going to do his will, then he can't use us. It's impossible. And Paul is saying, our visit to you is not without results. In other words, we didn't come just to mooch dinner off of you. You know, we didn't come to strut around and say, look who I'm the apostle, and these are my two helpers. He didn't come in his Mercedes or his Porsche. He came as a feeble tent maker who had just been beat up because he was preaching the gospel in Philippi. How do I know that? Well, look at this. We have previously suffered and have been treated, what's the word? Outrageously in Philippi, as you know, but with the help of our God, we dared to tell you the gospel in the face of strong opposition. That's daring to be different than the world. A lot of people would say, I got beat up for this. Why should I keep going through it? You know, why? How many times can I put myself in front of the firing squad? Paul never settled for that. He said, listen, even though Paul planted the church in Philippi, he says, even though we're servants of the living God, we were treated outrageously, beat up because of the gospel. Listen, whenever you choose to do the right thing, in God's eyes, according to what God commands, you're going to be opposed. And the chief opposition comes from Satan himself. And then it filters down to maybe other family members or friends or people who say, ah, come on, you know, this stuff, it's for the birds. Really? Don't be conformed to the mold of this world. Paul didn't give up. That's why there's a church in Thessalonica. He didn't give up. He wanted to, he was willing to take the risk at his own, out of his own personal peril and preach the gospel, even though he knew there was going to be opposition. What's the worst people can say, at least in our culture for now? You're crazy. I don't want any of this Jesus stuff. So what? You do plant the seed. At least they hear the gospel. When I do funeral services, and fortunately, I haven't had to do one in a while. I've done far too many. But it's interesting to see, because you get friends and relatives and all sorts. You get a mix of people, but inevitably, it's the religious people sit on one side, and those who have no use for religion sit on the other side. It's a funny dynamic to watch. And, you know, when I get with people, especially with families I'm not real acquainted with, I always tell them this: they're going to hear the gospel. They will hear the gospel, and that includes them hearing that they are sinners and that sin is a serious issue. And when I meet with a family, I always tell them, look, you want to get somebody else, you can get somebody else to do it. But I am not watering down the gospel. No one has fired me yet. Although I think some of the people would want that. Don't be conformed to this world. This is so imperative. We can make a lot of things idols, can't we? Work, recreation, houses, people. Gets better. Look at this. For the appeal we make does not spring from error or impure motives, nor are we trying to trick you. Paul is saying the messages that we bring, the mentoring we bring, the instruction we bring is not meant to put one over on you. It's not meant to get your money. It's not meant for Paul and his gang to become famous. Is not meant for any impure motive. Here's what happened. In the church in Thessalonica, when Paul, Timothy, and Silas visited there, because Paul had planted that church, this is the second missionary journey, there were people who came behind Paul after he left the first time and said, this guy's a fraud. This guy's making everything up. He's just coming to mooch off of you. That's all he's doing. And Paul refutes that by saying, look, you need to remember. Paul says, first of all, anything I do for the glory of God. Anything I preach is the truth of the word. This is why I take so much time in preparing messages. Because I want to make sure what I'm saying to you is the truth and the word of God. And then, even before I preach it to you, God works in my own heart. And I got to deal with things in my own heart before I come to you. It goes on to say, on the contrary, we speak as those approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel. Listen, if you're a believer and you know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, you've been entrusted with the greatest gift in the world, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Why is it the greatest gift? It's life-giving. It will produce new life in sinners that were condemned to hell. It would produce new purpose to sinners. In other words, it produces transformation from the inside out. We are entrusted with that great message. Why are we so shy with it? Why won't we share that with others? Why won't we dare to be different and tell people about it? And not in a bad way, but in love. When we earn the right to tell them. We are not trying to please people, but God, who tests our hearts. Few weddings I did, they weren't in the church, but a few weddings I did, some of the feedback I got, because people, at the reception, they get a few drinks in them, they think they can say anything. A couple of people came up to me at one of the receptions to say, nice ceremony, but you mentioned Jesus too much. This is a true story. And I said, I would disagree with you. And they said, what do you mean? I said, I probably didn't mention him enough. But this is where we are. I had a woman call me to do a funeral. But she didn't want any of the Jesus stuff in it. I said, I can't do that. It's who I am. It's who he made me. He gave me this gift. He gives you this gift. And I'm not here to please people. Right? It goes on to say, we never use flattery. You know what flattery is? Flattery is giving compliments with the intent to manipulate someone to get what you want. That's flattery. We are champions at it. Our sin nature makes us champions at it. We manipulate people many times in two ways, flattery or guilt, right? The champion of this, I always go back to Lucy and Desi, right? She would use flattery to manipulate people all the time. So would he, right? But flattery is sinful, whether you realize it or not. Listen, when the motive is wrong, it's flattery. When you give somebody a compliment, it's not used to manipulate them. It's used to edify, encourage, and bring them along in their spiritual journey. We did not put on a mask to cover up greed. God is our witness. Every one of us is going to have to stand before God and answer why we did what we did. Pray about that. Meditate on it. Because I think that might have some influence when we wake up tomorrow and we say, now I have to choose who I'm going to serve today. God of the world. And that doesn't mean quit your job. That just means when you go to your job, you do it with excellence. Because you're serving God. He's your real boss, not your boss. God is your real boss. He gave a good day's work for a good day's pay. That means when you have to be a parent, you're a parent for God's glory. To love, encourage, to discipline when necessary. Is there anybody here who has had kids to get the money? Yeah, I don't know what it is. Like each kid costs over $100,000 these days. I don't know what the number is. When we start to put dollar signs on, that's shame on us. God blesses us with a child. We are stewards of the child. And we have to be mentors to the child, right? We are not looking for praise from people, not from you or anyone else. Even though as apostles of Christ, we could have asserted our authority. And Paul's saying, no, I mean, that's not why we're here. Instead, we were like young children among you. Get this image. Just as a nursing mom cares for her child. That's a beautiful picture, isn't it? Do you realize a nursing mom is giving life to that child? You realize that? Pouring her own life into that child. That's the picture here. The caressing, the rocking. Do you realize that with young children, newborns, if they're not caressed and rocked, it raises the possibility of sudden infant death. There's something about a mother's care. We cared for you. I feel bad for Mary Lou because when we had Joey had colic, right? So we didn't sleep for 6 months. But, when he would get up during the night, you know, screaming from the pain and all, if I sleep on my right ear, which was my good ear, no longer is, they're both bad, but I couldn't hear him cry. So about 2-3 o'clock in the morning, I get the elbow, right, in the side. Can you please get up with him? Yeah, of course, you know, I'll get up with him. The only thing that would put him to sleep was taking long car rides. So it was midwinter, right? It was cold. And put him in the car seat, you know, put blankets around him, surprised he could breathe. Get him into the car, buckle him in the car seat, and I take the blankets off and find out that I put him in upside down. It's a true story. He wasn't crying, yeah? So I righted him back up, and at 3 o'clock in the morning, we went for an hour car ride until he fell asleep. And then we gently took the seat, put it in his crib, and prayed that he wouldn't wake up. After about 20 of those car rides, I got this idea. I think it was God inspired. We had a little box fan, and I could turn it down so it wouldn't create a draft. I put that against the leg of the crib. So we put him in. He slept through the night. 7 o'clock the next morning, Mary Lou says to me, go check him. I said, why? Something's wrong. I said, he's fine. Go check him. I check him. That was the last time we had to take a car ride. But I'd gladly do it all over again. It takes sacrifice, doesn't it, to pour your life into somebody, to help them grow. And I came home from the office one day. It's a true story. This is when, he would have crying through the night. I came to the office, and I find Joey was asleep on the couch. Mary Lou was kneeling right beside him. She was asleep on her knees. Just out. I felt bad waking her up because I know she was going to have rigor mortis. You know, when, you know, came in. But listen, God gave you a gift of a child. He also gave us the gift of the gospel. Both are worth nurturing and pouring our lives into others. We cared for you just as a mother because we loved you so much. We were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well. Wow. Surely you remember, brothers and sisters, our toil and hardship. Listen, I don't know anybody who works harder than a mom, right? Our toil and hardship, we work day and night. This, I don't know if Paul had the last proverb in mind here where it talks about, you know, moms worked hard day and night in order not to be a burden to anyone while we preach the gospel to you. Wow. This takes discipleship. This takes commitment. This takes the power of the Holy Spirit. Let me just mention to you this. The Bibles that many of you have, whether on the phone or in your hand, none of that is going to get through to you by osmosis. We together need to be in the Word of God like we are today, but not only at a service, but through Bible study, personal Bible study, personal devotions, through Bible study groups, whatever mechanism we have, because the verse in Romans says, do not be conformed to the mold of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. How do we renew our minds? Through the Word of God. That's it. I'm sorry? Yeah. The Word of God. Right? Let me close this out with you. You are witnesses, and so is God, how holy, righteous, and blameless we were among you who believe. For you know that we dealt with each of you. Ready, dads? As a father deals with his own children. How does a father, oh, how should a father deal with his own children? Encouraging, comforting, pleading. That's the same word that's used in Romans. Pleading with their children to live what? Lives worthy of God, who calls you into his kingdom and glory. What was the father's name on The Simpsons? Was it Bart? Homer, right? Homer is not the model father. Archie Bunker wasn't the model husband or father. And yet the culture has demasculated men, just like it's taken femininity away from women. It's a dangerous place to be. It's a real dangerous place to be as a culture and as a society. Men should be men and women should be women. There's only two sexes in this world. And whether you're a man or a woman, we should be mentoring. And the only way we can be mentoring is if we are mentored. We don't know it all, do we? So we all have to be mentored and be mentoring. Encouraging, comforting, urging, pleading. I do this all the time. This is, you know, when I see people who stay away from church, I plead with them. You need to be here. You need to be here. When I see people who don't come to the Bible studies anymore, you need to be here. The prayer meeting, you need to be here. And we also thank God continually because you received the Word of God, which you heard from us. You accepted it not as human word, but as it is actually the Word of God. And indeed, is that... and indeed at work in you who believe. If you have any arguments or anything, do me a favor. Don't take my word for it. Check it out. Check it out. You can check it out. I came to the conclusion many years ago that God means what he says. And he says what he means. Isn't it great we don't have a father who says, do as I say, not as I do? He's not that type of father. He's the father who is holy, who is completely righteous. He is the father who is the encourager. He's also the father who's the disciplinarian, who will correct us when we get out of line. Now, just a quick word before we close about discipline. When a father corrects a child, it should be done in love, and it should be done in a way that the punishment fits the crime, if I could put it that way. Okay? It should not be done out of malice or solely emotion that's out of control. That is not the right way to discipline. Godly discipline always looks to restore, always looks to build up, always looks to encourage. It's never meant to destroy. And we kind of get those mixed up sometimes. We thank God continually because you've received the word of God, which you heard from us. Listen, the treasure of the gospel comes from the treasure of the word. And the word says, don't be conformed to this world. Be different. Be different. For you, brothers and sisters, became imitators of God's church in Judea, which are in Christ Jesus. You suffer from your own people the same things the church has suffered from the Jews. In other words, being a born-again believer is not for the faint-hearted. You're going to have sometimes your own family or other relatives saying, you're one of those Jesus Franks. You know, when did that happen? Are you dying? Yeah. No. But what an opportunity to say, let me tell you how I met Jesus. Or, more theologically correct, let me tell you how Jesus met me. And you give your testimony. You'll be surprised what God can do with the truth. You'd be surprised what God can do when we share the gospel with others. Those who persecuted killed the Lord Jesus Christ. We know that, right? And the prophets. And also drove us out. There's always going to be opposition to the word of God. I don't care where you are. There's always going to be opposition to the word of God. They displease God and are hostile to everyone. That's always going to be. We live in a culture that can't handle the truth anymore. Should I say that again? We live in a culture that can't handle the truth anymore. That doesn't mean we stop preaching it. That means we need to preach it even more urgently. Because some might get saved. Christianity is not for the faint-hearted. We stand up for our political candidates. We stand up for those in office. We stand up for people who are in positions of honor, and I'm not saying we shouldn't. We will even stand up for a rock band that will blow out our eardrums. We will stand online for hours to get tickets to something we really want to see. It's about time the American church stand up for Jesus. Will we do that? Will we do that? Let me finish the last verse with you. In their efforts to keep us from speaking to the Gentiles so that they may be saved. Anybody who blocks the gospel, and I wish the world would kind of hear this somehow. If in their effort to keep us from speaking to the Gentiles so that they may be saved, in this way they always heap up their sins to the limit. The wrath of God has come upon them at last. God's going to have the final word. That's why I say, what's the worst thing they can do to you? Say, no, you're crazy. Get out of my face. You know, I told you about a Jewish evangelist I know got punched by a hostile man to the gospel. I mean, he literally got decked. Our Savior got nailed to the cross so the gospel would ring forth. He died on the cross so that his blood would cleanse us. He rose 3 days later to give us victory over sin, Satan, and the grave. And he entrusted us with the greatest message mankind has ever seen. So I want to ask, will we stand up for Jesus? Melissa, Chip, would you come forward? Moms, thank you for everything you do, for things that nobody ever sees. Thank you for committing to raise your children. Thank you for being Jesus to your kids. So it's with this, I pray a blessing on each of the moms. And I pray a blessing on all of us as we go forward. Let us never take our moms for granted. Let us never, ever forget the hard work and their lives they poured into us. I hope you celebrate your mom today. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for this time. I thank you for each of the moms, the grandmoms, great-grandmoms. Thank you for the husbands also, Father. Those who are committed to do what is right in your eyes. We thank you for how you have provided. We thank you for your word. And it is my prayer, Holy Spirit, that you help us each day face the question that Joshua raised for us. Who will you serve today? and that we would say with our whole heart, mind, and will, today, me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Holy Spirit, bless these people as they go. We pray this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said,
Amen.
God bless. Good. Have a great lunch.